Okay.
Let's begin with prayer.
让我们一起来祷告开始。
Dear God, as we study today, give us knowledge that will help us to better understand your word.
亲爱的主，当我们学习的时候，今天求你给我们这个聪明的灵，智慧的灵，让我们能够更好地了解你的意思。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
Now, this week is a little different than what we have been doing.
这个星期跟以前我们的形式有些不同。
It may take us two lessons. I think it will take two lessons.
这个新约背景的介绍大概会要花两节课的时间。
And it is to do what I did at the beginning of the Old Testament, and that is to try to give a historical and geographic setting for what we will study.
然后就像我们在旧约概论最刚开始讲的，这个新约背景的课呢，给我们这个历史和地理的背景的一个介绍。
We are ready to begin the New Testament.
我们要准备开始这个新约了。
This morning I was looking at my notes and realized how very long it has been since we met at the sanctuary.
我今天早上看我的这个笔记，我就注意到说，自从我们在教会里能够聚会到现在，已经过去了这么长的时间。
The first lesson I taught online was on Deuteronomy.
我第一次在这个 room 上开始讲课，讲的是《申命记》。
And now we have finished the Old Testament and are ready to start the New Testament.
我们已经把旧约讲完了，现在要准备开始讲新约了。
Before we do, I want to give you some background of the world that the New Testament is in.
在我们开始的时候 ，You mean the Old Testament? 哦，就是我先讲一下，在旧约结束的时候，当时的世界是什么样的一个状，是什么样的一个情况。
Now, if you do not like history and geography, maybe this will be a frustrating lesson for you.
如果你不喜欢历史和地理，那么这课可能对你来讲，挺没兴趣的。
But I think it is very helpful to understand the world that the Bible was written in.
但是我觉得要了解说在写这个约旧约和新约的当时所那个时代是很重要的。
Because sometimes we forget that these were real people.
有的时候我们就忘记了写这些信的人和生活在那个时代的人是真正的人。
If you tried to tell someone a biography of your life,
如果你想跟一个人讲，就是说你自己生命的一个传记。
But you did not include anything about where you lived.
但是你在写你自己的传记时候，没有包括任何你住在什么地方。
Nothing about the politics of your world.
也没有讲完全讲到你当时所处时代的这个政治环境。
It would be very difficult to give a biography that would help people to understand you.
然后那就很就是让别人来了解你的这个生平，但是又不给他们这些背景是很困难的。
But that's what many people do with Jesus and then with Paul.
然后这就是好多人对耶稣和保罗的这个了解。
They read the Gospels and they never ever look at a map.
他们去读圣经，但是从来不去看地图。
So they really don't know where he lived and what it was like.
所以他们不知道他们住在哪儿，他们当时的生活环境，他们生活的世代是怎么样的。
They don't know what the politics was of that time.
他们也不知道当时的政治是怎么样的。
And so they really don't understand the world he lived in.
所以他们是完全不了解就是耶稣和保罗所生活的时代。
I will give you one example.
我给大家一个例子。
During the recent protest, someone said to me, well, you're a Christian and the Bible doesn't even condemn slavery.
然后他说你是基督徒吗？那圣经上 ，you mean they mean the Bible never condemns slavery?
That's what they said.
Yeah, 他说你是基督徒吗？但是你看你的圣经里边都从来没有谴责过奴隶制。
They said so. The Bible is anti-black.
所以呢，你这个圣经就是反黑人的。
And I said you've never read it.
我说你从来就没有读过圣经吧？
Slavery in the Bible was something entirely different than slavery in America.
那个圣经时代的那个时候的奴隶制跟就是在美国那个时候的奴隶制是完全是不同的。
It was for many people the way you paid off debts when you owed someone and you could not pay.
就是对很多人来讲，他成为奴隶是因为他还债的一种方式，因为他没办法还债了。
If I owed you $10,000 and could not pay.
如果我欠你一万块钱，但是我又付不起。
And I said, for 1 year, I will work for you to pay off my debt.
我就跟你说，那我就为你白白工作一年来还我的债。
That was a form of slavery in the New Testament.
那就是新约里边一种形式的奴隶。
I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I am saying that we need to understand what we are reading.
我不是说这个对还是错，是好还是坏，而是说我们要了解我们所读的东西，所读的圣经，所处的时代。
And so today and probably next week, I want to give you a geographic setting.
所以今天或者可能还有下星期，我要给大家一个历史地理背景。
A very brief historical setting.
然后一个很简短的这个历史背景。
And a social setting.
还有这个社会背景。
I would like for you, when you read the New Testament, to be able to picture this is where it happened.
然后我希望你能够在读圣经的时候，你的脑中能有一幅图像，就是清晰的图像，说这个就是在什么样的情况下发生的。
This is why they did what they did.
这就是为什么他们会那样做。
Because they were real people.
因为他们是真正的人。
They lived real lives.
他们过一个真正的生活。
Okay, so first of all, the geographic setting.
所以我们先来看他们的地理背景。
Slide 3 is a map.
第三张幻灯片第三是一张地图。
This is the Roman Empire, I don't know what color that is called. But the Roman Empire during the time 8 AD, it is about the time a few years after Jesus is born. He is a teenager.
这个大概是公元八年的。I think I make wrong. Okay, this is 8 AD. Okay, 公元第八年的这个一个地图，那时候耶稣应该是一个青少年。
And that, I would call it pink, I don't know colors, but that pink area is the Roman Empire.
所有这些像一点发粉的这个颜色呢，都代表了罗马帝国。
Now, here's what I want you to notice.
我想让你注意到的是。
Is there a way that you can highlight something or...Circle something?
I think,
at least show it. Show
yeah,
it.
I can use. Can you see my
mouse? Good, good, good.
Yeah,
okay. So go down to Judea.
让我们去到这个犹大在这里。
This is where Jesus lives.
这个是耶稣所生活的地方。
And I want you to notice that it is about as far as you can get from Rome and still be in the Roman Empire.
这个是在就是罗马属于罗马帝国但是属于罗马帝国的边缘最边缘的地方。
For some reason, the map that I have does not show Rome, but you know where it is. Can you show where Rome is?
Yes. 我知道大家可能没有显示罗马，罗马应该是在这里，大概是。Is it here?
Yes.
I think it's Italy.
Yes.、
Yeah.
Now, go back to Judea and you see this is almost as far as you can get from Rome and still be part of the Empire.
犹大跟罗马的距离，这大概是你能离罗马最远的一个距离。
We might think of Judea as very important because the Bible spends so much time there.
我们可能觉得犹大很这个地区很重要，因为圣经上花了这么多都在讲犹大，这么多篇。
But if you had asked someone in Rome,
但是如果你要是问一个住在罗马的人关于他对犹太地区的这个印象
，They would have had to think a moment to remember where it is.
他们得想一想才能想起来说，哦，原来他们这个犹大在什么，犹太在什么地方
？And then they would say, "No, I've never been there."
然后他们就会说，哦，我从来没去过那个地方。
I don't have any reason I would go.
我没什么理由要去那个地方。
It would be like asking someone in Beijing about some little province far in the west of China.
然后呢，就是说，就像你在 北京大城市，你问一个人说你知不知道一个在西部很远的一个省份。
The soldiers that Rome sent to Judah were usually their worst soldiers and they were being punished.
然后呢，就是罗马送到犹大的这个士兵呢，通常是这个最糟糕的士兵，他们被送到那儿有点被惩罚的味道。
If you were a good soldier, they kept you around the center of the empire.
如果你是一个挺重要、挺好的士兵，他们就把你留在这个罗马，就是附近，在罗马的中心。
Maybe they sent you north into the Gallic and the German areas.
或者他们把你送到，你是好的，送到北方，就是那个像德国那个地方。
But Judea was unimportant.
但是这个犹大对他们来讲不重要。
Now move up to where it says Asia.
再到下边，这个是亚细亚。
That is not the continent.
那个不，这个亚细亚呢，它不是说亚洲。
And it's not a mistake.
那个这个不是一个错误。
It is the province that Rome called Asia.
它是一个省，然后罗马把它称为是小亚细亚，就亚细亚。
We'll come back to that later, but it's some of the key churches in the book of Acts.
我们回以后会讲，但是在这个使徒行传里边有这些很重要的教会，就在这个小亚细亚这个省份。
Then go all the way over to the west side of the map, yes, all the way over.
This is,
yes.
Okay, here.
It does not say Spain, but that is what we would now call Spain.
他没有在写说这是西班牙，但是这个就是现代的西班牙所在地。
It is the western limit of the empire.
这是这个罗马帝国的西边的界限。
When Paul writes his letter to the Romans, he says, I want to go from Rome to preach in Spain.
然后在保罗写罗马书的时候，他说我想要去去从罗马到西班牙去传道。
And then this is not specifically about the New Testament, but I want you to see. Notice the line, the ridge along the north of Africa.
另外一个呢，这个不是在新约里边，但是我想让大家看到，就看到了这个在北非的这个这个线了吗？北非的 ，You mean the coastline, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 就是那个海岸线，北非。你看到
？In the 3rd and 4th, 5th centuries, North Africa will be the strongest, one of the strongest parts of the Christian faith.
大概在公元三到五世纪，那北非呢是在这个信，就是这个信仰最强壮的地方，就在北非这个地方。
Augustine will be a bishop there.
然后呢，奥古斯都他就是这边的一个主教，就是教父。
One of our greatest theologians will come out of North Africa.
他是从北非出来的一个伟大的神学家，最伟大的神学家。
Unfortunately, when Islam grows up,
但是当这个可惜的是，当这个伊斯兰开始变得越来越强盛的时候
，they destroy the church in that North Africa region.
他就把这个北非这个地区的教堂教会全部给毁掉了。
But when you hear people who say, "Oh, the Christian religion is just a Western religion," remember.That North Africa was one of the strongest parts of the church for hundreds of years.
所以当有人就说哦，这个基督教不过是西方的宗教的时候，要记得就是说，这个北非它有起码有上百年的时间，它曾经是这个信仰这个教会最兴盛的一个地区。
Now I can't see you, so I don't know if your eyes are already glazed over by the map.
我现在是没法见你，所以看你是不是已经把这个看的眼睛都发昏了。看这个地图。
We're in my classroom. I would know if you have fallen asleep.
或者在教如果在教室里，我一看有些人是不是已经睡着了。
And if I need to sing a song to wake you up.
也许是不是我得唱首歌把你给摇醒
？But if you will go back, take the marker and go back now to Judea.
如果我们再回到这个犹大地区。
Everybody bring your mind back to Judea on the map.
大家都把那个眼睛再盯到这个犹大上。
And now go to the next slide. We are zeroing in on Judea.
现在呢我们就开始好像就是专注在就是放大然后到了这个犹大地区。
Go back one more time to slide 3.
我们再回到第三章上面这个地图，看这里。
Put the marker on Judea, yes.
然后就在这里，这是犹大。
How small this area is.
你看看这个犹大，这个就是这个黄线，这个 orange 这个黄，就是这个呈现所表示它是一个很小的地方。
The little line marks.
就是它的这个橙色的线，就是标出了犹大地区的这个界限。
Perfect. Jesus' entire ministry fits right there.
主耶稣他整个的事工，他的一生就在那个犹大。
You can drive the whole area in one day, very easy.
你从最南端到最北端，一天就能把这个国家给走完。
Now, go to the next map.
然后我们看下一张地图，第四。
And all of this is that area that we just looked at.
这就是刚才我们看到那个犹大地区。
And I need you to follow me as I give you a little description of this area.
然后呢，你要跟着我，我要给你描述一下这个地方。
Start over by the Mediterranean Sea.
是从这个地中海。
Run the arrow up and down the sea line, the coast.
然后你看着沿着这个海岸线。
We call that the coastal plain.
我们就说他们是这个沿海的平原。
Jesus will not spend much time there.
主耶稣没有花很多时间在这个沿海的平原。
Move in, and the map kind of shows you the mountainous area.
然后这个地图大概能看到这个山区。
A little to the west of where you are.
Okay.
West.
Here? No, oh, west, it's here, I'm sorry.
Moving up and down that is all mountainous.
这个整个从上到下，从就是这是从南到北，这都是山区。
Up in the north, you have Nazareth, is a little red star.
看到在这个北边呢，有这个拿撒勒，就是这个星星所代表的。
It is a tiny little village.
这是一个很小的村庄。
Go down to Jerusalem.
然后我们在下边到这个耶路撒冷。
And then down, those two are the main places I want you to see. That is where Jesus is going to spend much of his time.
这是主耶稣所花他的生平所在的主要的两个地方。
Twice I have gone there.
我去过这些地方两次。
And when you spend a little bit of time walking in this area,
如果你花一点时间在这些地区走路的话，
it is very, very hot.
很热，非常的热。
It is very dry.
非常的干。
I was walking with my son.
我跟我儿子一起走。
And I started to laugh.
然后我就开始笑起来。
Because I remembered so many paintings of Jesus with long hair and very almost looks like he is a sissy.
然后我看到很多，想起来我看到很多照片，那个主耶稣头发都很长，然后穿的有点像这个女性化。
Very soft he looks.
然后看起来很柔和。
And I started to laugh because that's impossible.
然后我就开始笑，我说在那个地方这是不可能的。
He was walking up and down these mountains all day long.
所以他就在这些山区就是高高低低的每天都在走。
He is in the sun.
他在太阳底下。
He had to be very dark and very rugged.
他肯定是就是挺黑的，然后也看上去很怎么说呢，那个比较粗壮。
Strong muscles.
他应该是很就是挺粗壮的。
I know because I would walk a few hours and then I would go to find air conditioning and take a nap.
然后呢，因为我在那边就走了几个小时，我就得找到有空调的房间里睡一觉。
Jesus would walk all day, day after day.
但是主耶稣呢，却是每一天从早到晚的这样走，走来走去的。
He was not a sissy.
他可不是一个想象的像个女性那样子很温柔很柔和的那种有阴性美的那种，肯定不是。
Now, when you move further to the east, you see from the Sea of Galilee in the north to the Dead Sea, what we call the Jordan Rift, the Jordan Valley.
然后我们从这个看再往东一点呢，就看到从这个加利利海到这个死海，然后这个称为约旦河的这个Jordan Valley, right?
Yes.
就是约旦河山谷这个谷，约旦河谷这个地方。
Jesus will spend his early ministry up in the north by the Sea of Galilee.
主耶稣的早期事工是在加利利海附近。
You see where Capernaum is.
你看到这个加百农所在的地，这个星星。
You see where Bethsaida is.
你看到伯塞大。
This was the commercial area.
这两个地方是这个商业中心。
The Sea of Galilee was very productive.
然后加利利海是一个物产丰富的地方。
For fishing.
因为是产鱼。
For farming around the watered area.
然后在周围这个就是能够有这个水灌溉的这个农产区。
There was a Jewish proverb.
这有一个犹太人的一个格言。
That said, if you want to be rich, go to Galilee.
他们说如果你想变得富有的话就去加利利地区。
If you want to be religious, go to Jerusalem.
如果你想要变得很虔诚很宗教化那你就去耶路撒冷。
Jesus will grow up in Galilee, in Nazareth.
主耶稣会在加利利地区的这个加利利地区的拿撒勒长大。
His disciples, many of them will come from this area around the Sea of Galilee.
他的很多门徒都是从加利利附近来的。
In Capernaum, they have found what they think is Peter's home and have dug it out.
然后在Capernaum, right, Capernaum, 他们在加百农好像说发现一个地方认为这个是彼得的家。
Jesus would have been in that town much of the time during his ministry.
在主耶稣的事工里边他花了很多时间在加百农。
I will tell you, I like the Sea of Galilee to be there much more than Jerusalem.
我去那里参观的旅游的时候呢我更喜欢加利利海胜过这个耶路撒冷。
Because those are the places in Galilee where you know Jesus and his disciples lived and walked.
你知道的加利利海就是主耶稣跟他的门徒他们在那里生活过在那里行走过。
And then if you cross the river,
如果你过了约旦河
you come to what is called the Transjordan, the across the Jordan.
你就会到了这个就是过约旦河地区。
Now the person who made this map did not think this part was important.
就是做这个地图人大概不觉得约旦河这个东岸的地区是重要的。
So he doesn't put any names here.
因为他在这个地方没有命名任何城市。
But it's important to me for this reason.
对我来讲这个地方是重要的是约旦河东岸这边重要的是。
In Jesus' time, this was called the Decapolis, the Ten Cities.
在主耶稣的时候呢这个地方被称为迪加波里迪加波里在那个地方有十个城市。
Decapolis is a Greek word.
这个迪加波里是一个希腊的词。
These were not Jewish people, they were Greek people, Gentiles.
他们不是犹太人住在这个地方而是外邦人就是这个希腊的人他住在这个迪加波里地区。
And any time in the New Testament, in the Gospels, you read that Jesus went to the Decapolis.
所以当你在新约里面任何地方提到说主耶稣去了迪加波里的时候。
It means he has come across the river.
你就意味着他过了约旦河。
Or across the Sea of Galilee.
或者穿过了这个加利利海。
He is on the east side and he is among Gentiles.
他是在这个东面他就是在外邦人中间。
Let me give you one example of why I think geography is so helpful.
让我再给你个例子让我觉得说为什么这个地理知识这个背景很重要。
You will read in the Gospels about Jesus feeding the 5,000.
你在圣经里读到过耶稣喂饱五千人。
Move your arrow, Sister Lay, to the west side of the Sea of Galilee. Right there. Perfect, perfect.
就在这个加利利海的西面。
Jesus is there. 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children are hearing him preach.
然后在那个地方呢有五千个男子还加上没有寄宿的女子和小孩在听耶稣的讲道。
And he feeds them with just a few loaves and fishes.
主耶稣用这个五饼二鱼就喂饱了这么多人。
Just a few chapters later, it tells us about the feeding of the 4,000.
再过了几章以后呢就讲述了耶稣又喂了 四千人的故事。
Now please move the arrow to the east side of, yes.
现在是在这个东边，在这个加利利海的东面东岸。
Now Jesus is there.
现在主耶稣在这个地方。
4,000 men plus women and children.
这四千个男子加上 女子和小孩。
And the disciples ask a very strange question.
然后呢，门徒就问了一个很奇怪的问题。
Jesus, what will we do?
说耶稣啊，主耶稣，我们该怎么做呢？
You better send them home. How can we feed them?
你最好送他们回家吧，我们怎么喂他们呢？
I used to read that and think, they are stupid.
我通常我读的时候我就说他们真笨呢。
Just a few weeks ago, he fed 5,000.
就几个星期以前，主耶稣喂饱了五千人。
Now, if you're not good in math, 5,000 is more than 4,000.
如果你就算不数学不是很好，你也知道五千比四千多。
Why did they say send them away?
为什么他们要说让他们回家吧？
And then one day I was looking at the map.
然后有一天我就看这个地图。
And I saw the answer.
我就发现了答案。
The 5,000, he was in Jewish territory.
因为他喂饱五千人的时候，主耶稣是在这个犹大地区，犹太地区。
All the 5,000 men there are Jews.
所有在那边的这个五千个人，这个男人都是犹太人。
But now he is in Gentile territory.
现在他在这个外邦人的地区。
And at least many of the 4,000 are Gentiles.
但是这四千个男子中间，大部分人可能都是外邦人。
And the disciples do not want to waste a miracle on the Gentiles.
但是这个门徒可不想浪费一个神迹在外邦人身上。
It is not that they think he cannot feed them.
他不是，这些门徒不是觉得主耶稣没有办法就是喂养这些人。
They don't want to feed them.
他们不想主耶稣去喂养这些外邦人。
They don't want to have to touch them.
他们都甚至不想碰触这些外邦人。
The map helps us to understand that miracle, I think.
我觉得这个地图可以帮助我们更好地理解那个神迹。
Now, I want to point one more thing on this map.
我想再在这个地图上再指出来一件。
I told you that for much of Jesus' ministry, he is up in the northwest around Nazareth and Capernaum.
我说主耶稣他早期的很多事工是在这个加利利海的，就是这个西北地区，就像加百农啊、拿撒勒这个加百农附近。
He stays away from Jerusalem for much of his 3 years of ministry.
他三年的事工中间有很多时间他都离这个耶路撒冷远远的。
Part of the time he will even go further north all the way to the top of the map to Caesarea Philippi.
他甚至有些时间他都去了凯撒利亚、菲利比，去更北一些。
When he goes there, he is on the very border. He is almost leaving the country.
然后他已经到了这个国家的这个边界，他都快要离开出去了。
Because it says his time had not yet come.
圣经上说，因为他的时候还没有到。
Jesus, following the instructions of the Father, decides when he will go to Jerusalem and be killed.
主耶稣跟着天父的时间表，然后决定说他什么时候要去耶路撒冷，然后被杀。
He willingly gave himself.
他是心甘情愿的把他自己献上。
Now let's go back to, or go to slide 5.
我们去下一张第五个幻灯片。
And now we are moving back out to the big picture.
我们现在又再缩回去，我们看这个整个大的图片。
Looking at the Roman Empire again.
我们现在就看这个罗马帝国。
But this map has some location cities that I want you to notice.
然后我这些有一些那个有一些那个地城市，我想让你们能看到。
This is the map that shows Paul's ministry.
这个就讲到保罗他的事工。
Can you go, Sister Lay, north?Of Jerusalem up till you find Antioch.
Yes, here.
Right there.
就是说在这个耶路撒冷它的北边呢，就是有这个叙利亚地区，有这个安提阿，大家看到没有这个红点。
That is, becomes the most important church in the first century.
在公元一世纪，这个大概是最重要的教会，就是在这个地方。
Even more than Jerusalem.
不是在耶路撒冷。
Because Antioch represents what the early church was.
因为安提阿就代表了当时早期的教会是怎么样的。
When I first started to come to Palm Beach Chinese Chapel, I told someone, they said, what is that church like?
当我刚开始来我们教会的时候，有人就问我说，那个教会，中理堂华人教会是像什么样的呢？
And I said, it is like Antioch.
我说他们就像安提阿。
Not Jerusalem.
而不是像耶路撒冷。
Many different cultures were in the Antioch church.
在安提阿教会当时有不同的文化。
Different languages.
不同的语言。
They all gathered together there.
他们都聚集在一起。
Antioch, it says, is the first place that Christians were called Christian.
在安提阿这个地方，这个教会，基督徒第一次被称为基督徒。
The first place that...People said, those people are little Christ.
第一次在那个地方，周围的人说，这些人就是小基督。
And I hope that when people see us at Palm Beach Chinese Chapel, they would say, those are little Christ.
我也希望当别人看到我们教会的，大家的众弟兄姐妹的时候，别人会说，这些都是小基督。
The other reason Antioch is important in the New Testament.
另外一个安提阿在教会在新约里重要的原因是
It is the church that sends out missionaries.
它是一个差遣宣教士的教会。
And again, I would hope that we will be like that.
我也很希望我们教会是这样的。
Every time Paul goes on a journey, he starts not from Jerusalem, but from Antioch.
保罗每次出去这个宣教的时候，他不是从耶路撒冷出去，而是从安提阿出去的。
The church prays for him and blesses him.
然后教会就为他祷告，就为他祝福。
They sent him out.
然后就差遣他出去。
He travels and preaches.
然后他就出去，就是去到不同的地方讲道。
And then he returns and reports to them.
然后他就回来向他们讲述描述所发生的一切。
So he goes from there.
所以他就从安提阿出去。
He goes up, go to find the little town of Ephesus.
然后他到了Ephesus, Ephesian, right? 到了以弗所这个地方。
That is the major town in Asia Minor, the province.
就是在小亚细亚省份这个一个主要的城市，就是这个以弗所。
He will start a church there.
他在以弗所建立了教会。
To the east of there, you see the province of Galatia.
然后你又看到这个加拉太省。
You will start churches there.
然后从这里。
Go up to the, before that, to Asia Minor.
在小亚细亚之前。
Go north to,
right there.
Paul is in Asia Minor.
保罗在小亚细亚这个省份。
And he is praying about where to go.
然后他就在这里，他就想说，向神祷告，说他应该往哪个地方去。
He wants to go east.
他想要往东方走。
And the Holy Spirit says no.
但是圣灵说不。
And Paul has a vision.
保罗是有一个意象。
Of a man across the water.
就是说在这个河，这个水的另外一面。
Saying, come into Macedonia and help us.
然后就说你到马其顿来吧，向我们讲道，就是马其顿。
So he and Silas cross the water.
所以他跟那个希拉就过了海。
They land at Philippi.
然后他们就到了腓立比。
And the first church in Europe is planted at Philippi.
所以呢，第一个欧洲的教会就在腓立比被建立了。
And that becomes the path of the gospel.
然后这就变成了这个福音的一个轨迹。
And from there, the church will spread to the west.
然后从那里开始，然后教会就向西开始扩展。
You have the church in Thessalonica.
然后你就有在那个帖撒罗尼迦的教会。
Go south, you have him preach in Athens.
然后再到南方呢，南部呢，保罗在雅典讲道。
He did not have much success in Athens.
他在雅典没有什么收获。
He plants a church then in Corinth.
然后他接着在哥林多建立了教会。
All of these churches around the Mediterranean come out of his ministry.
所有这些在地中海这个附近的教会都是因为保罗的事工。
So, one other little dot I want you to notice is Patmos.
然后另外我想让你们看到的一个小的点就是拔摩岛。
Remember that John, the Apostle John, was a pastor at Ephesus.
要记住记得就是说约翰使徒约翰他最后他是在以弗所的他是以弗所的这个牧师。
And when he is arrested,
当他被抓以后
to Patmos,
他们就把他流放到了这个拔摩岛。
An island that is used as a kind of a prison.
那个岛就是像一个监牢似的。
And so that is where he will be when he writes the book of Revelation.
所以就是在拔摩岛上他写了这个启示录。
Okay, so that gives you a little bit of an idea, I hope, of the geography of the New Testament.
所以我希望这些给大家一些关于这个新约背景的一个概念。
I should ask if everyone is awake.
我想问一下大家是不是还都醒了。
Maps are very helpful.
地图是很有帮助的。
To me, to picture where things happen.
就对我来讲让我能够知道说这些事情是在什么地区发生的。
Now let me move and give you a little bit of historical setting. That's the geographic setting.
现在刚才讲的是这个地理的背景，现在给一些历史的背景。
Let me quickly give a little bit of historical setting.
让我很快的给大家一些历史的背景。
Go please to slide 7.
我们到第七张幻灯片 ,just give me a moment. Okay.
In the Old Testament,
在旧约的时候
we saw the Assyrian Empire that conquers the Northern Kingdom.
我们看到叙利亚那个不是亚述帝国就是征服了这个北方北国以色列。
The Assyrians are defeated.
然后这个亚述又被击败了。
And let me give you a quick quiz.
我给大家一个很快的一个考试小测验。
What empire defeats the Assyrians?
是哪个帝国击败了这个战胜了这个亚述呢？大家可以把你静音打开，然后再关上。I don't know what they do. 谁要回答 ？OK. Yeah, because yesterday. 谁要回答？
巴比伦。
Yes, very good. Okay.
有人说是巴比伦。
Yes. Babylon defeats the Assyrians.
是巴比伦帝国战胜了亚述帝国。
Babylon conquers Judah.
然后巴比伦也征服了也占领了犹大。
And then in 539, roughly 539, Persia conquers Babylon.
然后呢大概在公元前539年然后那个叫波斯帝国又战胜了巴比伦帝国。
And so at the end of the Old Testament, it is Persia that is in power.
所以呢在旧约结束的时候呢当时是波斯帝国是最鼎盛的时候。
When you looked at Zechariah and Haggai and Malachi, those are during the Persian Empire.
所以你看撒迦利亚书马拉基书还有哈该书他们那个时候都是波斯帝国在掌权。
Now, I told you that after Malachi, after Haggai, there's about 400 years of silence.
我讲过在撒迦利亚和那个马拉基书之后有400年的沉默期。
This is a little difficult because 400 years is only one blank page in our Bible between Malachi and Matthew.
对我们来讲有点困难，因为这个400年在圣经中间只有一个空白页，就是在马拉基跟新约马太福音之间。
And so it is easy for students to forget that 400 years is a long time.
就有时候学生们就很容易忘记说400年其实是个很长的时间。
Not so much for China.
不是对中国来讲可能400年不长。
But 400 years is longer than the entire history of America as a country.
对但是400年就是说比美国现在建国整个历史都还长。
That is an important time to prepare the way for the New Testament.
这个是一个很重要的时间在为新约预备道路。
331, Alexander the Great defeats the Persians.
在公元前331年，波斯就是亚历山大大帝击败了波斯帝国。
And if you go to the next slide,
如果我们去下一张第八个幻灯片。
He defeats the Persians in 331.
如果我们把公元前331年就这个地方是亚历山大大帝希腊帝国。
8 years later he dies.
然后就过了八年他就死了。
And his empire is divided among 4 of his generals.
所以他的帝国呢就被四个将军呢就被瓜分了。
2 of them are important for the New Testament world.
有两位呢是对新约很重要。
Egypt is given to a family or a general in his family called the Ptolemies.
然后呢埃及呢就被称为一个多利买这个将军所占领。
They are generous.
他们是挺慷慨的。
And they rule for over 100 years. They rule Egypt and Palestine.
他们就是大概有100年的时间，他们就是统治埃及和这个有巴勒斯坦地区。
The Jewish people accept them.
然后犹太人也接受他们。
They allow the Jewish people a lot of freedom.
他们给了这个犹太人很多自由。
But in 198,
但是在公元前198年,
the Seleucids, another of these successors of Alexander the Great,
就是这个西流基这个另外一个将军，他是占领叙利亚的，他另外一个将军。
They defeat the Ptolemies and take over Judah.
他击败了这个埃及，所以他现在就开始控制这个巴勒斯坦犹大地区。
And it becomes the worst period in Judah's history.
然后这就成为这个犹大历史上最黑暗的一段时期。
Go to the next slide.
我们再看下一个幻灯片。
Actually, go down two slides to number 10.
Number 10.
So the Seleucids come down, they conquer Palestine.
然后就是这个西流基这个王朝这个就下来就征服了这个犹大地区。
And they hate the Jews.
但是他们憎恨这犹太人。
The worst of their leaders is a man by the name of Antiochus the Fourth.
然后他们中间最糟糕的这个王就是叫安提阿古这个西流基。
Antiochus gives himself the name Antiochus Epiphanes.
他给自己称为安提阿古什么，就是一个
the divine light.
他就是说他就是像神一样的人，他给自己这个名字。
He claims to be a god.
他自称为神。
He comes to Jerusalem.
然后他到了耶路撒冷。
He goes into the temple.
他到了圣殿。
He goes to the Holy of Holies.
他就进到这个至圣所。
And he sacrifices a pig on the altar.
然后他甚至在一个这个祭坛上献了一只猪。
He sacrifices this pig to the Greek god Zeus.
他用这个猪向这个希腊的神宙斯献祭。
Now, I know it's hard to do this as a question and answer.
这个作为这个问答是 I will give you the answers. 但是我想说这个答案是什么
But almost always when I teach this at the college,
当我每次在大学里教这门课的时候
one of the good students will remember what happened in the Old Testament anytime someone walked into the Holy of Holies.
他们总是记得问就是说在旧约时代如果有人进到这个至圣所会发生什么呢
If you ever entered the Holy of Holies, you would die instantly.
如果你就是只要你进到这个至圣所，你马上不是按照这个大祭司按照这个时间计，你马上就会死。
And good students will remember that a pig was very unclean.
也好的学生也会记得这个猪是不洁净的。
And so they ask.
所以他们就会问说。
How did Antiochus walk into the Holy of Holies and sacrifice a pig without being struck dead?
他们就说安提阿古怎么可以进到这个至圣所，然后就是献一只猪，但是又没有被杀死呢？
Does anybody know the answer?
有任何人知道这个答案吗？ 有没有人要回答？
There is silence.
Maybe they push the pig with a pole.
他说有没有人就是把这个猪是用了钩子就这样子外边给伸放进去。
Good theory. You must be an engineer.
你肯定是个很好的工程师。
The answer is Ezekiel 10.
这个答案在于以西结第十章。
Because of Israel's sin.
因为以色列人犯罪。
Ezekiel 10 says that Ezekiel saw the glory of God leave the temple.
以西结第十章就说，以西结看到神的荣耀已经离开了圣殿。
He was no longer in the Holy of Holies.
神已经不在这个至圣所了。
It is no longer a sacred place to God.
那个不再是一个就是一个至圣的地方。Can I have a question?
Yes.
Yeah, I do think maybe that's the answer. But how about like in John's father Zacharias, when he was his turn to burn the incense and the angel did appear to him in the, you know?
Yes.
我就问了一个问题，就是跟说那后来因为如果至圣所神不在这个至圣所的话，那后来约翰的父亲撒迦利亚去献祭，天使怎么出现？
That's a good question. When God is in the temple.It is because he is there.
Can you repeat? Sorry, it's a little.
When God is in the temple, it is holy because he is there.
当神在圣所的时候，圣所之所以是圣洁，是因为神在那里。
But the temple by itself is not holy. Now.
但是圣殿仅仅是他自己，他不是圣洁的。
And so when Zechariah is there, God appears. It's holy.
所以当撒迦利亚在那里献祭的时候，当神出现了，神显现了，那个就是圣洁的。
But the temple was no longer so full of God's presence that all the time it was sacred.
然后呢，这个圣殿呢，从这个that means after, like before,Zechariah 10, 就是 Ezekiel 10, 他在神离开圣殿之前，在以西结第十章神离开圣殿之前，这个圣殿里神是一直在那儿，所以圣殿呢就一直充满了神的荣耀，就是圣洁的。
Here is why that is important.
这个为什么如此重要呢？
We have a tendency to make places or objectsSacred in themselves.
我们有一种倾向，就是把这个地方或者什么东西，让他们觉得这个东西本身是有，是神圣的。
Christians can do that.
你基督徒也可以这样做。
I was teaching in Papua New Guinea.
我在那个新几内亚讲道的时候。
And the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea now is a Christian.
现在这个新几内亚他的这个首相呢是基督徒。
And so they took me to the Capitol building.
所以大家就把我带到这个总统府。
And they showed me a tower.
然后他们就向我展示了一个在里边的一个塔。
And in the tower was a copy, an original of the 1611 King James Bible.
他们在这个这样一个这个里边的塔里边呢，是保存了一个1610年的这个就是叫 King James, 就是那个钦定王本的这个圣经的原本。
And they were very proud of this Bible.
他们就很以这个圣经呢为荣。
And Christians were coming and touching the tower, the monument, and praying.
然后基督徒就会从不同的地方来，就是摸着这个，就是保存这个圣经的这个塔呢，就在那里祷告。
And my guide said, "Isn't this wonderful?"
我的向导就说：“你看这是不是很妙，很好？”
We are now a Christian nation.
我们现在是一个基督徒的一个国家。
And I said, "No, I am sorry. This is not wonderful."
然后我说：“对不起啊，我不觉得这个很棒。”
This is very sad.
这是很令人难过的。
Because you have made an idol.
因为你做了一个偶像。
God's presence is what makes something holy.
因为是神的同在才是让这件东西成圣。
Let me be very blunt and honest.
让我就是很坦率的讲。
If God does not come in our presence in Palm Beach Chinese Church,
如果神不来到我们棕榈滩华人教会了，跟我们同在。
That building is no more sacred than a barn.
这个教堂并不会说比一个酒吧更神圣。
The only thing that makes it special is God's presence.
这个唯一让这个地方成为特别的就是神的同在。
And if God's presence is not there,
如果神的同在，神的同在不在那个地方，
that building is no more special than Home Depot.
然后这个建筑，这个教堂就跟这个 Home Depot 就是卖家具，卖这个就没有什么区别。
It is God's presence that made the temple special.
是神的同在让这个圣殿特别。
It is God's presence that makes the church special today.
这也是神的同在让今天的教会特别。
And because of Judas' sin,
因为犹大犯罪，
God left the temple.
神就离开了圣殿。
Now, Sister Lay is right. There were moments where he appeared again.
然后我刚才讲的那个是也是有道有也是对的，就是有一个大概有一些某些时刻神再次在圣殿里出现显现。
Zechariah,
就像在撒加利亚烧香的时候献祭的。
Simeon, when Jesus comes.
当耶稣婴孩耶稣被行到圣殿的时候西面看到他。
But the building by itself was not sacred.
但是这个圣殿就是它本身自己这个建筑物它并不是神圣的。
Now, let me quickly finish up this little Greek period.
让我很快的把这个希腊的这个时期给讲完。
During the Greek period,
在这个希腊的这个时期
everyone is forced to learn Greek.
在这个希腊化时间每个人都要去被迫学习希腊语。
That becomes the language of the entire Roman, later the Roman Empire.
这个之后呢，这个希腊语呢，也变成后来罗马帝国的一个语言。
Everyone in Jesus' world knew Greek.
所以在耶稣的时代，每个人都会讲希腊语。
They all had Greek cultural ideas.
他们都有这个，受这个希腊的文化影响，都有这个希腊的这个文化的想法。
But because Antiochus was so violent against the Jews.
因为这个安提阿古这个四世是非常强烈的这样子反对这个犹太人跟犹太人作对。
They grew a revolt.
所以呢他们就有一个对他一个反叛。
A family by the name of Judas Maccabeus was the father.
他们就称为这个一个马加比家族就开始反叛。
Said we will drive them out.
就说我们要把他们赶出去，把这个安提阿古四世。
And they began a period of guerrilla warfare.
他们就开始了一段就是非常那个艰苦卓绝的一个征战。
Hundreds of them were killed.
他们家里就说有上百人。都是被杀了。
But they fought so hard that
但是他们英勇作战。
The Greeks gave up.
最后呢这些希腊就是这个希留基他那个王朝就退后了。
To be honest, they never actually lost the battle. They just decided it isn't worth it.
然后呢并不是you mean the, Okay, the Seleucus, they never really lost the battle. Yeah, yeah. 就是到最后呢，因为这些犹太人非常英勇，就是不放弃，所以这个希留基这边的王朝就觉得说没必要再为了，没必要再为这个地方再征战了，所以他们就放弃了。
And after 3 years, they left.
然后过了三年，他们就离开了。
In 164,
所以在公元前164年
，the Jews took over again the temple.
然后这个犹太人就重新夺回圣殿。
And we still celebrate this.
我们到现在还在庆祝这个节日。
In December.
然后在12月份的时候。
The same time as Christians celebrate Christmas,
就在基督徒庆祝这个圣诞节的时候，同一个时期。
They have an 8-day holiday called Hanukkah.
犹太人他们有一个他们有一个节日叫八天，叫烛光节或者叫修殿节。
Hanukkah is remembering the defeat of the Seleucids, of the Greeks.
他们就是为了庆祝，就是纪念他们真的是就是战败了，就是击败了这个希流基王朝，希流基人。
And so after this, for 100 years, the Jews will rule themselves.
所以呢，之后从公元前164年，大概有100年的时间，犹太人就是自己是自治的。
The Maccabee family will rule.
然后就是这个马加比的家族呢，他们就在统治。
And for 100 years, they will again have their own government.
然后有100年的时间，他们有自己的政府。
That will bring us to the Roman period.
然后下面我们就进到罗马统治时期。
And I'm going to stop there.
然后我现在就要停下来。
Next week, I will finish up Rome.
下个星期我们就讲完那个罗马。
And then I want to give you a little introduction to the social world of the New Testament.
然后再后来呢，我就会给大家一点这个当时的社会状况。
And again, if you do not enjoy history, hold on, only one more week and we will be to Matthew.
然后呢，如果你不喜欢历史的话，就坚持一下，再过一个星期我们就要进到马太福音里了。
But I really think it is important to understand the world that Jesus came into.
但是我觉得去了解耶稣所生活的时代的确很重要。
Because you see, when the Gospels were written, everyone knew all of this.
所以因为当圣经写新约出现的时候呢，每个人都知道这些历史。
And so they read it, understanding this.
所以他们读的时候，他们已经准备好能够马上了解这些。
And I want you to understand it.
我也希望大家能够了解这个背景。
Let's pray.
让我们一起来祷告。
Dear God, help us to see and know that you came into our world.
亲爱的主，求你帮助我们能够明白，也能够了解，看到，知道你来到了我们这个世界。
You sent your son to walk on our earth.
父神，你把你的儿子送到这个世界上来，让他们在我们的这个世界上行走生活。
To eat our food.
就吃我们的食物。
To live life like we live it.
就像我们这样生活。
And so, when we read, we are not just reading stories.
所以当我们读的时候，我们不单单是在读故事。
This is a real life example of how we are to live.
这是一个真的是活生生的榜样，就是向我们显现我们应该如何来生活。
Help us to understand that.
帮助我们真的是能够了解。
And to follow your example.
然后也跟随你的榜样。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名求。Amen.
Amen.